DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to Not Another Podcast. James is here, Danny's here, Samantha's here, Travis came back.
Hi!
Where's Bryce? Bryce is on a farm. Upstate. Running with the other podcasters.
He's happier in his home environment.
Which also means he's dead. Hi, Shira.
Hey, you wanted quotes for the show. There you go.
That means he's dead. Hi, Shira. Love it.
It's actually kind of a shame that Bryce isn't here because all last week, and I know Travis is particularly upset about this. We've been hit with the news that we've wanted since 2016.
For the last...
And that Congress is going to move forward with impeachment hearings.
Yay!
Now, what does that mean? We're going to talk about it because Travis knows a lot more about this stuff than I do, and he makes it sound much smarter.
Rage information. It goes a long way.
Yeah, but first we're going to let him rage because he's been holding this in for a week.
God damn it.
How do you feel?
God damn it. So we worked in news, right? We worked in news during this entire abortion of a fucking presidency, and we get fired the Friday before Congress finally impeaches this bastard. And we don't get to cover it. We're cut out of it. We had to cover every stupid move, every idiotic, imbecilic, dare I say retarded, in the clinical sense.
It's not PC, bro, but you said it, not me.
Okay, hey, wait. I want to take a moment here and go, Travis, you're in a safe space, so you don't have to hide your true feelings here.
Thank
Relax,
God.
Buddy. It's okay.
So how do you really feel about this?
They stole it from us. They stole this moment from us. And, So now we have to watch, like, citizens, voters.
Fucking normal jag-offs.
We used to be the fake news. And now we're nothing.
Now I think now we're actually legitimate news, which is really fucking scary.
That's sad.
God damn it.
Okay, so if you don't know, if you're living under a rock, I wish I was there with you.
Right.
Must be a nice rock.
They finally moved forward with impeachment proceedings because, not because... potential collusion with Russia during the election.
No.
And not because of any number of stupid, idiotic fucking things this guy's done.
No.
A phone call.
Yep.
It comes down to a fucking phone call.
Well.
Let's be fair. All the other things are going
to
stack.
Is leading to a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all the other stuff was fucking there.
Here's the deal. This is... First off, I've always contended that Nancy Pelosi has resisted impeachment because the Trump campaign has built their 2020 campaign about being under impeachment. But it was going to be the earlier days when they could weasel their way out of it and frame the Democrats with this is a witch hunt, trumped up charges, blah, 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 blah.
Trumped up charges. Ah,
I see what you did there.
But in this case, this offense is not only so basic, so stupid, and they admit to it, that Nancy Pelosi now is in a position where it's like, I can't not impeach now. You are so stupid that you have forced me now to impeach you because there's no other option.
Yeah, she was resisting it for a long time, and I get why. I really do understand why. And the thing is, you do have to understand that impeachment doesn't mean much. It, essentially, it's a black mark on his record.
No, it does if it depends. So if the House impeaches, because this is what happened to Clinton in 92, right? The House voted for impeachment over obstruction of justice because he lied under oath, right? It wasn't about
a blowjob.
Right, it wasn't.
Yeah, no shit.
Right, he lied about the blowjob under oath, and that's what the House got him on. But the Senate needed a two-thirds majority to have the Senate impeach him. If the Senate impeaches him, then that's criminal charges, and you're removed from office. The Senate could not get the supermajority. So the House only has to have a simple majority, 51 votes, to bring up articles of impeachment, and they're the ones that have to kick it off. So once the House has articles of impeachment, and Pelosi has already said, oh, we have the votes. Don't even worry about this. Oh, my God, do we have the votes? And with Chris Collins resigning today, they really have the votes.
Yeah.
And then... Now it comes down to the Senate, and this is the interesting point. This is the crux. Nancy Pelosi knew that with the other charges that have happened, the Mueller report, the obstruction of justice there, the fact that Mueller said, I didn't clear him. It's just not my job to go forward with this. If you guys want to go after him, there may or may not be stuff there to go after him. but what happened was they knew that it would be a political circus because the House would impeach with the 51 votes, but they knew that Mitch McConnell, the Senate, and the Republicans, because it's a Republican-controlled Senate, they would never get a supermajority because these guys have been protecting Trump like crazy. I mean, insane. But this one is so indefensible that we have finally reached the point where the GOP, the entire Republican Party, is like,
"Ah,
fuck, dude, you're on your own here, buddy. We all have careers we got to keep track of."
They all want to be reelected, and
So this is where all of a sudden things are going to get really interesting because they need that supermajority in the Senate, and enough of these Republican guys are going, "Yeah, fuck this noise. I don't want any part of this bullshit. I'm out. When do we vote?" And so the closer they get to 67 votes, the more fucked Trump is. And really, I mean, yes, it's a phone call, but what it really comes down to is a sitting president withheld foreign military aid to a foreign country and then said, if you don't investigate my political rival, you're not going to get the military financial aid that we have promised you. And that's what the phone call was about. He was basically extorting a foreign president to dig up dirt on a political rival using taxpayer money as the bargaining chip. And that is beyond high crimes and misdemeanors. That starts flirting with fucking treason. And it's why the Republicans are like, "Yeah, there's no way I can spin this.
Good luck, buddy."
By the way, speaking of spin, did you guys see this? The day after this Nancy announced that she was going to seek articles of impeachment, the White House accidentally sent the Democrats the spin and talking points on how they were going to try to spin all of this.
I laughed so hard.
The Democrats were like,
the recall email came out, and I was like,
This is so. Right now, on all of the Sunday morning news channels, Rudy Giuliani, who right now is the point person, crazy Rudy Giuliani, is trying to spin this.
He's trying to spin the spin.
Right. To say two things. One, he's claiming that nothing illegal or wrong happened, which is bullshit. That's a fucking lie.
No, because they released the transcript of the phone call.
Right. And they were forced to release the entire whistleblower's account.
Yeah.
Now, the president tweeted 3 days ago that the whistleblower should be executed. If he is innocent, then why should the whistleblower be executed?
Swing and a miss there, buddy.
So, yes.
But again, that's along with all of his rhetoric. every time someone has come up and said something about him, he's like, we should kill him.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of his MO as far as like his safety net of hiding behind his own
ego. This more than anything proves to me how much he wants to be
a dictator?
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because this would never happen over in North Korea. They'd be dead before any accounts of this got out. And that's what Trump wants. So
here's what you're going to see a lot in the news cycle. You're going to see a lot of attempted sleight of hand. They're going to try to change the argument to different stuff. I mean, when all of the news cycle was about the Nancy Pelosi's announcement to impeach and that they were demanding the whistleblower complaint be released to Congress and ultimately the public, Trump was going off on Greta Thunberg and the 16-year-old climate activist. Because
he was attacking a child.
Because that he was trying to change the subject, trying to, and that's
redirect
the other
narrative.
Thing. And please pay close attention over the next few weeks, because this is where, you know, the adage, a cornered animal is dangerous.
Yeah.
Right now, Trump is as cornered as he has ever been in his abortion of a presidency. And
No,
that is absolutely true. He is facing consequences that could lead to jail time, you know, not to mention the shame of being the first fully impeached president since what? I want to say it was like Andrew Johnson or something. I mean, you have to go back to, you know, when the founding fathers were presidents. He knows the art of creating spectacle to get the attention off him. He is brilliant at that.
He's great at misdirection.
He's a better celebrity than he is a president, and he knows how to affect the news cycle. But in this case, it's going to have to be something fucking big. So
he needs a war. He literally needs
a war. Hello, Iran. Because that's the scary part, is not only does he need a war, but he needs a war so big and dramatic. Shock and awe's been done before, and he's going to want to top it. Mm. He might be the first sitting president to use nuclear arms against another foreign power.
Which it's been recorded that he wants to be the one to press the button.
He wanted to nuke Hurricane Dorian.
Yeah. No, within his first month in office, it was coming out like he was asking about nuclear options.
How do I use this? Which key do I turn?
Well, and the thing about it is, though, and this has been my argument for a long time as to why countries don't get to the breaking point of actually pushing the button, is although he is the Cheeto in chief, he has to get through a lot of fucking tape to get to that button. It's not just an easy pull. Well, I'm in a mood. He has to go through the chains, and honestly, he is lacking in enough support to where I don't honestly believe he would have the ability to sign off on something like that, let alone do it himself, because honestly, that's just asinine.
There's going to be pushback from the military. I mean, they're not just going to want,
the military, defense of state, fucking interest across the board.
Oh, dude, yeah, he's got so many people against him.
Pentagon won't let me fire nukes. Sad.
The craziest part is you're going to have GOP... senators...
Lindsey Graham, what?
saying, well, they won't let President Trump do what a president is supposed to do. And they're going to look like Jim Jordan, who makes me ashamed to be from Ohio. That fucking asshole of a human is all over the news. Like he took on... Him and Jake Tapper had a really heated debate where Jake Tapper was pressing back on him. But even if he's, I can't shoot off my nuclear weapons, you're still going to have GOP... participants defending him, saying he should be able to do it.
Right.
Yeah, but I think the majority of the GOP is smart enough to go, we really don't want that option.
No, they are, but there's still going to be the few.
And those are the loudest ones.
Here is...
Whatever reason.
And here's what I think all of this boils down to, is Putin got exactly what he wanted. He put the United States in absolute disarray with his handpicked choice and his fixing of our election in 2016.
Yep.
He put us exactly where he wanted us. We are weak. We have destroyed our own economy from within. We have destroyed our own political system from within.
Yep.
We have divided this country to such a state that we haven't seen since the Civil War. And he's sitting over there at the Kremlin just laughing his ass off because it's exactly what Khrushchev promised during the Cold War is we're not going to have to defeat you. We're going to make you fall from the inside. And they did it. They finally did it. And this is where you look at the Democrats and a lot of our national leaders and you go, fuck you. If you hadn't been playing politics for 20 years, greasing your pockets and striving for whatever power that you could personally muster, we could have prevented this long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But this became show business for ugly people. It became our national blood sport pastime. That we put on our political jerseys and we cheered our team and we forgot that we had to govern a fucking country.
Yep.
And now we are fucked. And it will take the next president at least two terms to right the ship, if not another term from another president, before we finally, hopefully, can get past all of this bullshit.
Yeah.
Because just because we remove Trump doesn't mean this shit's done.
No.
Oh,
we
no,
still
no, no.
have to
no,
undo all the shit.
Bullshit is going to persist.
And if they don't take down Pence, now we have almost a goddamn Taliban member. As far as his fundamentalism about his religion, we have put an even scarier motherfucker in there. Because he's a believer. He's not a con man, a shill, a greedy, dumb celebrity whore. He's a devout, God put me here for a reason. He spoke to me. I'm going to smite the gays. I'm going to smite the fornicators. I'm going to... And we're going to live wearing fucking burkas by the time a Pence presidency's done.
Oh, yeah, Handmaid's Tale is going to be a real thing if he's there.
Yep.
I mean, it's real. When I heard in 2016, like, I was looking for a house. I didn't buy one until this last year, but I was like, oh, shit, I got to buy a house before it's not legal for me to own property anymore.
Boom.
And I wasn't kidding. I was only, like, kind of half kidding, but I was not really kidding. That's
not too far from the mark.
When Trump was elected, a friend of mine who's gay, was panicking. Because he was going, they're going to round us up and put us in camps. And I'm like, fuck you, dude. They're not going to round you up and put you in camps. It's fucking 2016, dude. We're fine.
Yeah, they're going to bring you out and shoot you. They're not going to bother with
exactly.
Camps.
Yeah, that's expensive.
Oh
clearly.
Bullets are cheap.
But now I sit there and I go, God damn, that could actually happen.
Mm.
We could start rounding up, interning, and trying to, at a federal level, conversion therapy, at the federal forced conversion therapy in conversion camps for LGBTQ. And that's the path that Pence wants to take us on, because God told him to.
Dangerous words.
I really feel like the pushback on that would be far worse than anything Trump's gotten on, though, because we're at, 2019. I mean, we are a far more accepting society than we were even 10 years ago.
Doubly fair.
Now, that's not to say that there's still a lot of
we've got a ways to go yet before we're perfect, but I
feel like, number one, if Trump was removed from office and Pence was in there, he'd be a lame duck unless he won an election.
Yeah,
and I don't think he's a strong enough person to win election. Yeah, he'll get the religious vote, but in this country, that's not enough to carry.
But we're also missing one crucial piece of this puzzle, too. As we've talked about before, when a new president comes in, their first term is spent either unfucking or, driving the fuck harder. So at this rate, what Trump has already set in motion is whoever does take the seat after this is going to get fucking railed.
Oh, yeah.
Because shit is already pushed so far off the cliff that they're literally struggling to bring shit back to normal. But with Pence, he's just going to be like, nah, fuck it, let it fall.
Well, yeah. We've talked about this on the show before. It takes a term for the new president, any of his stuff to actually take effect. Mm-hmm. So when he's getting in his second term,
now
all of
he's actually moving
and stuff
this shit.
Are actually moving forward.
Yeah.
So when Trump comes in and he's riding high on employment and all that shit, that's all Obama shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the sad
but he
thing
takes
is
credit for it.
Well,
the sad thing is, the one caveat to that has been Trump's tariffs. Because usually policy, you're right, doesn't really start to affect the average American citizen until the next presidential term.
Yep.
Because it takes the wheels. The fucking tariffs have put our economy on the brink.
Yeah.
And quietly, and you have to almost look hard for these stories, but the Fed has been pumping billions, hundreds of billions of dollars into this one key index, right? They haven't done this since 2008, when we were on the verge of financial collapse. And over the past, I want to say, 3 weeks, they've pumped in almost $200 billion into this one key index, just quietly, you know, selling off these bonds and shoving this money in there because they know how close we are to complete economic collapse because of the lack of actual financial sense that this president has had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the idiotic brinksmanship he has been doing with our largest economic partner, which is China.
Well, and here's the other side of that too. Whoever the next president is going to have to bow to whatever China wants.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to have to bend over and take it in the ass to get that partnership back up.
There will be concessions.
China knows they have us over a barrel.
No, because it's hurting them too. And I do think that there will be concessions made, right? Because they do rely on us for a tremendous amount of their GDP. There will be some concessions made, but I don't think it's going to be the bend over that you think. I think that there is a really good chance that whoever comes in after this administration, and I'm going to say this administration because I'm going to put Pence in there.
Yes.
Whenever the next term comes in and whoever has to clean up this mess, they will have the talks with China and go, can we have a do-over? And China's going to go, oh, fuck yes. Oh, my God, yes. Oh, let's just figure this out. Can we kind of go back to about where we were? Maybe a little here, a little here. We'll tweak this and that. Sounds good to us. Pinky swear. All right, cool. Because the rest of the globe depends on these two nations' financial stability right now. And if we start messing with each other's financial stability, everybody else tumbles. So if whoever comes in, they're not going to be in as bad a position as you think. Because China never wanted this. China did not want this at all. Is there a trade imbalance? There is, but we're not a manufacturing a country anymore. And part of that, and you have to understand that I am not against unions. I'm not against labor. But I will say that because we have unions that protect the employees in manufacturing, it makes manufacturing in the United States expensive. That's mm-hmm. not our fault. It was a fair... You know, that's why they grouped together and said, this is what we want. And as a
right.
group, that is the way you're supposed to do it. Our problem with that is we have developing countries that are working towards, you know, first world countries that can bring in and offer labor at a cost that we just can't. So manufacturing is not an American thing anymore. We have to decide what our next industry is. And honest to God, it should have been clean energy. It should have been clean energy fucking 20 years ago. We should have, the Exxons, the ones that know that the oil is running out and know that there are hundreds of billions of dollars to be made, whoever comes up with the best clean energy ideas, because you're going to save the environment and you're going to get entire countries to change wholesale.
Yeah.
So that could be our next industry. America leads the world in clean energy production and innovation, and it could have been a new golden age. But again, too many of our senators and congressmen are in the pocket of fucking big oil, and they want us addicted to that oil. They want the status quo because they're staying rich.
Yep.
So, dude, yeah, it's all kinds of fucked up.
But it's like, it's one of those things that if you could show those senators there's more money in clean energy, they would flip. But there hasn't been enough.
It's way too hard to pinpoint where the advances have come from, enough so to where you can prove with any level of research that says, okay, we found this new way to produce a silica that's 10 times cheaper, 10 times less wasteful, and it will produce, you know, solar panels. And that's a thing that's out. But it's a grassroots fucking movement. It's not a federally funded thing. Yep. If it was, solar would become so much cheaper, you know, and stuff like that. And that's just like energy usage on just like your normal fucking power plants and shit like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like moving forward on stuff like that would also help to innovate other aspects and motivate, you know, people moving more towards electric cars that are maybe fueled off of the solar panels that are now charging the cars
and that's
shit like that. It's like it's one hand washes the other once you figure it out. But there's not an easy way to pinpoint and go, this will make you more money than burning fossil fuels.
You actually nailed it, though. One of the biggest industries in this country is automobiles.
Yep.
And there hasn't been enough time, there hasn't been enough performance to show that we can get, like, really good cars that perform the way our gas-guzzling cars perform. If you could do that, and Tesla's really close.
Dude, they're almost fucking on.
And look, I'll say all the manufacturers right now have pretty reliable electric cars, and they're getting mileage that almost equals a tank of gas now. We're on a full charge. And that's been the number they've been trying to hit. If one charge could equal what your old full tank of gas was,
that's better.
The number. Well, they want to hit that number first because that's going to convince America to go, it's now I get it. It's the same thing, right? Now. But then, obviously, with advances in technology and manufacturing and whatnot, if we can get better, we're going to go better. But they know that the tipping point is it has to equal what a tank of gas is equal.
Yeah.
Well, and that's just it, too. And one of the other aspects that, you know, will probably get brought up when people try to argue against electric cars versus, you know, gasoline engines in general, is you look at things like, well, what about long haul drivers? They have to fuel up multiple times. It's like you can't stop and plug in for, you know, 8 or 9 hours. You have to be on the road. One of those things where it's like that's one of the arguments they would have.
On the road.
They do.
And really, it just comes down to whoever can figure out how to do like dueling battery cells, right?
Right.
So when you've got the full charge on one, you know, you're running that until it's done, but then the second set of batteries kick in to go even further. But if you incorporate a solar element, so now the drain on those batteries is way less, especially when they're traveling during the daytime.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're extending the battery life, and now they can long haul and not have to worry about it. But also think of the infrastructure side of it. If we do not have the infrastructure today to have everybody have an electric car.
Yeah. No.
We would have to flip every gas station to an electric charging station.
And we'd have to figure out how to quick charge.
That's exactly it. We will have to figure out a way that a charge, a full charge, lasts about as long as filling up your tank, because people don't have that kind of time.
Nope.
Yeah. And again, maybe the solar side is a way to help mitigate that. But, you know, you're not going to be able to sit there and look at the, you know, empty battery light and go, no, it's got fumes. Baby can get me 6 more miles. It's not going to happen.
Once
when that's
goes,
gone,
it's over.
It's gone. And, you know, I panic when my phone battery is at about 20%. If my car battery is at 20%, God damn it. But I think that that could have been our new industry. I think the hardest part of convincing our national leaders that are in the pocket of big oil is, one is an investment that's not going to pay off for a while. The other one is cash in pocket today.
Yeah.
They are getting, and it is instant gratification, and they don't give a shit about the environment, and they don't give a shit about their grandkids. They just want to get rich now, because once they're dead, they can't take any of it with them, so fuck you. And that's been the attitude of our leaders.
Yep.
And we need to figure out a way to get that kind of money out of politics.
Well, again. And I think it's kind of reached its pinnacle when we have a rich president, a money-grubbing president, who I hate to say the word rich because
we're not sure
taxes.
Really.
Yeah.
Well, he is now because
he's twisted the system to, you know.
Well, even more so to the point, it's a matter of a living wage for a president even out of office. I mean, if this doesn't go through Senate impeachment hearings, he's still going to get his check.
Oh, yeah.
And he's still going to have his Secret Service for the next, like, six years or something like that, 6 or 8 years after his presidency is over. So not only will he be able to go back to doing what he used to do, but
he makes
he'll
money
be getting
on
his fucking
tours and books and all kinds of crap. No.
All that bullshit. So he is going to be fucking stink rich.
He is set for the last 10 years or so of his pitiful fucking
That's
life.
Asking a lot, dude.
And that extends to his family, too.
Yeah. Well, so. Especially since at least Ivanka's in his cabinet, right?
Not officially. She's an advisor. She's not.
Of course.
None of the family are actual cabinet members, but they do have their advisors, which is why they were given a high-level security clearance. And remember, that was the whole problem with Jared Kushner they bypassed a lot of the vetting process and just granted him the security clearance. And there's been so many shenanigans over the past 2 years. But look, if I'm going to give Nancy Pelosi her props, I give her her props for her patience. And because she basically went, no.
She knew it was just a matter of time.
But this guy is so stupid, they will eventually do something so egregious that the Republicans themselves will go, well, you're fucked. I'm out. Sorry, bud. You're going down.
Come on down and get your impeachment peaches.
And
we're just trying to get rid of them.
Because if they didn't have that silver bullet,
yes!
if they didn't have that ability to
Take
turn
that,
the GOP against him to get the supermajority in the Senate, then they were going to just end up having a political circus that ultimately might have re-energized Trump's base, because now you make him truly look like a victim and lead him to a re-election in 2020.
Yeah.
But this actually has the potential to remove him from office. It is that egregious and stupid and out in the open.
Let me ask you, Travis, what do you think the odds are this will actually go through and we will see him removed from office?
70%.
Really?
Yeah, I'm at 70% right now. I think that...
Well, that's being
helpful. Because the whistleblower, and this was a big one. The whistleblower agreed to testify in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee. If it were the House Intelligence Committee, I'd be like, okay, well, they're already filing for impeachment. They're already doing what they need to do.
Yeah, they're fired up, ready to go.
And we know that, again, Nancy Pelosi has the votes in the House. So the House is going to impeach. That is going to be a guarantee. It really comes down to the Senate. And knowing that the GOP has a slight majority in the Senate, and you need a supermajority. You need 67 senators that say, yes, This president committed high crimes and misdemeanors, and we are voting for impeachment. Because when the Senate does it, that becomes a criminal charge. That is now, you're done, fucker. This is not just a black mark or a letter that goes in your permanent file. That's what happened to Clinton. Clinton, because he didn't get the Senate to impeach him, just the House, he got the paper in his permanent
file.
The
walk of shame, but right. That was it.
But he stayed in office. He wasn't removed. If the whistleblower in the Senate Intelligence Committee, when we find out their identity and we find out their credentials and we look that we vet them for there's nothing in their past that says they've been out to get him, you know, that they're not, that if it looks like a true patriot that was in a position that went,
we're going to have a national holiday for him.
Fuck. Or her. Because we don't know.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
But if they
will be my new best friend.
If they were sitting there going...
Your picture goes right next to Tupac and Biggie, dude. Right. Just right up there.
But if they can convince the Senate Intelligence Committee how bad this really is, and it looks so fucking bad, then the Senate... Then you're going to see the GOP distance. And that's when you start counting GOP senators that are going to vote for impeachment. And if we can get to that 67 number, then we win.
So who do you think the holdouts are be, the hard ones to convince?
Lindsey Graham is going to go down with... But really, you have to keep your eyes on Mitch McConnell, because the GOP Senate... as a whole, has been following whatever Mitch McConnell does. He is the flag waving in the breeze, and whichever direction that flag is waving is where the GOP is going. He has already, in the past week, softened his position on certain things that he had been defending the president on. So you're seeing a slow erosion of Mitch McConnell, and he can't just... flick a switch and distance. He is going to have to strategically slowly move himself out so that he can protect his integrity, his re-election chances, and those of the people around him. So he's going to stay quiet. He's going to probably start moving legislation that he'd been holding up so that he can say, oh, yeah, I'm doing stuff now. I'm getting all sorts of stuff through the committees now.
Thank you, Mitch, for being on the show.
We really appreciate it. But now you may leave.
Right. So
there's the door.
But in front of a bus.
But he's going to be able to say, I've been doing the people's work now for I've been doing the people's work, and look at everything that we've been passing in the Senate.
God damn it, Mitch, go.
And when that happens, you know that he has left President Trump out in the
cold. Well, it's like you said earlier, he's backed into a corner now.
Absolutely, because he's defended for too long, and they all have. But there have been some that have been sort of forced into that position where they have to just shut up because they just don't have the power and clout, right?
Well, that's why Paul Ryan left.
Right, because he knew, fuck, he did not want to be a part of this. He knew where it was going to lead, and he knew that anybody involved in this, at some point there's going to be a consequence.
Yeah.
How heavy that consequence is, I think now depends on how long you stick with the president and try to defend his actions. And they've defended shit that I didn't think was defensible up till now. But this, again, because it almost rises to the level of treason, which is a federal capital offense, right? Not that they can they're not going to accuse Trump of treason. That is not going to happen. It's not. We are just not at a point in our country where we are going to execute a former president.
Really should, though.
But
damn, I'd watch that. I'd pay pay-per-view for that
but
shit.
But they high NSA, by the way. High NSA now for just sort of scanning this and picking out that keyword.
Thanks, Danny.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
We're right under the radar.
I wasn't even going to torrent it or nothing, totally.
But execution is not going to happen. It's not going to be a capital offense for him.
No.
But what they will do is like plea bargain. And the plea bargain down will be 67 votes or maybe more, and they will impeach him. And again, I still say right now, today we're at 70%. and keep an eye on Mitch McConnell, because that can affect it either way. If you start seeing him holding bills back again and changing his tone a little bit, then the administration has a defense that they think is going to work. They've shared it with Mitch, and you're going to see them circle the wagons, and then that percentage might drop. But the way that the chess table sits today, I believe we're checkmate at a 70%.
So how long before they actually start proceedings?
Well, it depends on a couple of things. They're about to take a 2-week recess, right? But Nancy could say, no, this is too important for the nation. I'm rescinding the recess. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. I'm rescinding the recess.
He doesn't need to hear.
We are not going to, we're going to take up this important work of the people, and we're going to start proceedings. We'll see. I don't think she's going to.
No.
I think she wants that 2 weeks as well, because they're still gathering their side. There's still a couple of unknowns. And I think so. Some political investigation on their side has to happen while they're allowing the White House to come up with their defense, which is indefensible. Keep putting Giuliani out there. That's helping your cause. Bravo.
Okay, so let's say that they were to start tomorrow.
Right.
It has to go through the House first, right?
Right. And so what will happen is they can have floor comment and investigation at the fastest, right? You could get that part done in 2 weeks. Then there would be a final vote to impeach, which would take a day. And then if it's successful, then add about another 3 days for all of the paperwork and stuff to be filed and sent to the Senate. At that point, it's incumbent upon Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell is the one that has to introduce all things to the Senate, being the Senate Majority Leader. If the House impeaches, and if the House impeaches by a really large Republican margin, that's going to be telling. That's going to signal something to the Senate and to Mitch McConnell. Because, again, the House only needs 51. So, really, we only need, and I can't remember the actual number, but we only need like 5 Republicans or something to really. So, now, if we get that, then I don't know about the Senate.
If we get like 60, 70, 80% of the House.
Right, but if all of a sudden 80%, if we're getting a super majority in the House and they send it to the Senate, that turns the screws on the Senate GOP caucus, right? And the Republican caucus is going to look at that and go, fuck, 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 fuck. And Mitch is going to.
Can you do it as Mitch?
Fuck, fuck, and fuck. and
it's like listening to a mirror. It's so good.
Terrifying.
But he will be forced then to introduce, and the Senate can take between 2 and 3 weeks then for their House debate, their investigation, and whatever. And at that point, once that draws together, then they hold their vote. They have to have a supermajority, but if they have a supermajority, boom, he's impeached. Now, I do not know, because in modern society, we've never had this happen. I don't know how quickly from the time the Senate gavel goes, well, we have the supermajority, impeachment passes, and they frog march that motherfucker out of the White House. I don't know how long that process is, but my guess is he'd be given probably like 48 hours to vacate the premises and be the first sitting president in 150 years to be removed from office. So if we're looking at an expedited timeline, so let's say they're going to take their 2-week vacation.
By January 1st of 2020.
Well, so 2-week vacation puts us in the middle of October. Then the House has 2 weeks to fight about it. Then there's about 4 days. So now we're into November. They've passed it. Let's say they've passed it with a supermajority in the House. There's 2 or 3 days now in the beginning of November. Then the Senate takes it up because Mitch McConnell's like, fuck it, I'm forced to, I've got to, here you go. They're going to take 3 weeks. Now we're at the end of November, and then they could take the vote at the very end of November, call impeachment, and then go on holiday break. So this could, if they really wanted to, be wrapped up by the first week of December. That's how quick this could go.
That would be.
But it's not going to be.
You know as well as I do that that shit ain't going to happen nearly that fast. They're
going to
drag this fucker. If it happens, and I'm hoping it does, if it happens, I'm betting late January.
I'm thinking January or early February, somewhere in that range. Because there are breaks involved in that. And
everyone fucking dragging their feet on situations they don't want.
And here's another way that you can tell. I think watching Mitch McConnell is one way, but I think also watching Trump. Because if he starts heading out more to do more campaign rallies, he's clearly confident he's got some sort of defense.
Yeah.
So,
but at the same time, he's going to keep that facade up.
But I was going to say,
that's,
as a normal
you can
watch the
rallies.
That's
exactly it. No, this isn't those rallies are not about his campaign. Those rallies are about feeding his ego and his anxiety. So, yeah, he might do more rallies to get more love from all of these people because he can't sleep at night because they're going to fuck him in the ass, and he just needs that attention because he knows that attention's about to go away really fast. So he will have more of those rallies. He will try to get more love from his base. He will tweet like crazy, but he's going to go insane if the walls start closing in on him. He is going to have massive problems. And I mean, I missed it totally.
I said you kind of broke into Slack Lumber there
you
for a second.
You did a little bit, and then he brought it up, and I immediately went, oh, we should get him to consult on this.
No, no, we'll save that for something else.
We might have.
What is Slack Lumber?
God.
We're going to take a sidestep here because this is taking up majority of the show. So, Samantha, and to our listeners.
God damn it.
Don't do it. Don't do it because I do. I'm with you. I want to save it.
We're going to end up doing it here. You've got to explain it, and we'll do a little bit of it, but we're not going to go into it. But
Okay. Problem is when you go into it, it's hard
to
stop.
No, I will stop.
You got this.
So one of the bits we did not too long ago, Travis really wanted to do an erectile dysfunction bit on our show on the Misfits.
Say no more. I got it.
No.
It gets.
Oh, erectile dysfunction.
Sam,
it is
priceless.
So he came up with a commercial where it's this big over the top guy's like, there's a problem and you need to seek medical attention, blah blah blah.
And it's not funny. There's nothing funny about it. It's a very serious condition.
And the joke centers around the doctor's name, which is Dr. Slack.
And the guy's like, wait, what was that name?
What is it?
Dr. Slack Lumber. So and the guy starts laughing and it's like, it's not funny. He's a professional. He's a medical professional. This is a very serious condition. And then at the very end of the bit, we had one of our other voices actually do the first voice of Slack Lumber.
Yeah.
And I coached him to go, do you remember Mr. Tudball that was done by Tim Conway in the old Carol Burnett show, right?
Yeah.
I said, that's how I want Slack Lumber to sound. And so he went, I'm Dr. Slack Lumber, and your pee-pee is no laughing matter. Call today. And that was it. It was just this funny little tag. And then, a day or two later?
Yeah, it was like, not the next day, but it was really soon after. We were still riding the high. It was the funniest thing we'd done. We sat down at the morning show, and there was a story on the news about America's economic troubles. And I jokingly turned to Travis and go, I really wonder what Dr. Slack Lumber would have to say about the. And for 2.5 hours, Travis, in the voice,
I just went off as Dr. Slack Lumber.
In the most thinly veiled innuendos, building a world economic problem, but breaking it down to where you can easily understand it. Like there needs to be a dating app for economics.
Right.
And for two,
like the Tinder, where you swipe a right there or a left, right? And the, some of the countries are going to be really hot, right? Like a Brazil, but you know they got the daddy issues, so you're going to swipe left on the Brazil. You're really going to want to probably look for somebody plain, like England or Germany, right? Because those are the ones you want to take home to mama and probably build a life with. No, it's not hot in the sack, but ultimately, for your economy, it's the best thing that you can go ahead and do. And I would just riff as Dr. Slacklumber. And then we decided we were going to run Slacklumber for president. And we were going to put him on the Sunday morning talk shows. And we were and then he just sort of
evolved.
He broke out of his containment chamber. And now Slacklumber shows up everywhere,
all the time.
Last Friday, the three of us went to band practice, and on the way home, Travis broke into Slacklumber.
Well, no, because you guys had said, you know who the manager of Harkamer needs to be?
Well, yeah.
Dr. Slacklumber.
Duh.
I was like, God damn it.
God damn it.
And here's the problem. This is the thing. Slacklumber has become such his own thing now that I actually feel like I have to step aside and let him out. And so anytime he's brought up, it's like, fuck, all right, fine.
Fuck.
Let me bring him out. because once he's
we
out,
we want to talk to Slacklumber now.
Yeah.
Slacklumber. Yeah. I want to talk to
Slacklumber.
You're
under hypnosis. You can hear my voice.
I want the book of Herkimer in your venue, but I have to ask, right, because there's this thing called the Herkimer effect that happens about 9 months after the play. So, is there a Planned Parenthood in your community? Just saying, you may need one. Or at least good online coverage so they can jump on the website and order some of the things that they may need.
Yes.
Yeah, so Slacklumber is Slacklumber.
He had us going so bad. Danny, I think you cracked a rib Friday.
Really, really felt like I did. I'm not going to lie. I was trying to drive us home while Travis is going off. James is fucking dying in the back of my car. And I'm just trying to focus on the fucking road like, no, stop it. God damn it.
Stop it. Don't stop.
It's so good. But yes, that's Slacklumber.
So, and that's enough. He may show up on further podcasts
he's
down the road.
Fucking better.
But
right now, we've got some things in the works with our friends at All Things Z. And there may actually be a Slacklumber puppet.
Right.
Lumbier.
And it's Lumbier. It's like,
yeah,
so it's Swedish.
Yeah.
But the American pronunciation has been Slacklumber, and I'm fine with that. It's like, I'll come to that name if you call me that, but the actual name is Slacklumber. like Bjork, because it's not like you Americans call her Bork, but for some reason you can't pronounce Slacklumber, you know. So
yeah, Sam, there was your 10-cent introduction.
To Dr. Richard Slacklumber. Yes, his first name is Richard.
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
But that also led to somehow we got on this whole thing on Friday night, and Danny invented a character to kind of mirror Slacklumber, but he's worse.
Well, no, it's not that he's worse. It's that he's a specialist on the other side of the anatomy.
No. We're talking about the German doctor.
But the but he was specifically for the back side of the. I handled the front part of the crotchal region, right? But my German counterpart here, he handles more of the back.
Do you remember his name?
It was something like
Kumin Fukenegen.
Yeah, Kumin Fukeneg.
Right.
Fukenegen.
All I remember was Bootplugen.
Bootplugen.
That was, I remember.
Yeah,
that.
That was very funny.
Danny and I went off about using a Bootplugen.
Make sure you use your Bootplugen whenever you're getting into the orgy situation. It's very helpful. So, yeah, these are the things we talk about at band practice, Sam. You want to come?
I mean, if I was there.
Yeah, you would.
I would skip it.
Oh! Well
that's
played,
what
Sam.
We called the burn.
And that's the new title for the show. If
that
I was
hurts
there,
my feelings.
I would skip it.
Bites you has to say such nasty things to me, Sam.
She also took your
that's
title
what
away.
We called the burn.
Bitch.
Called the burn unit.
The burn unit.
The burn unit?
I don't know the degrees of burn.
That's fun words very deep.
Looks like a dandy needs a skin graft because he just got the burn.
My face. My beautiful face.
I don't think it was the face she hit.
No, it was my ass.
It's that area right next to the boot plugin.
Right next to the boot plugin.
And without a pillow.
It's definitely is more uncomfortable to sit down now. Fucking steal my title, will you? Bitch.
The timing on that was just so great. It's like, oh, if I was there, oh, yeah, I'd skip it. She waited for
it was
the
for
perfect
your,
pauses.
Yeah. It would be in your best interest, I suppose.
It's my wheelhouse timing. You know, it's just so funny.
Don't break your arm jerking yourself off there, Sam.
If it lasts more than 4 hours, we've got a specialist for you.
I'm not sure she's somebody that I can treat, though. I don't think she has the equipment that I'm medically licensed to take care of. Fucking slackwalker. God damn it!
And once you let him out, it's really hard
He's
to put him back in.
He's hard to contain him. Yeah, it's just not.
Out the box and in your box.
It's like wearing a set of loose boxers. Sometimes it just flops out, and you know. You tuck him back in, but he's only going to be there for a little while, especially
then
if you're
you
really
pop out the other side, you know.
Because he's right. Fucking
Right, it's really addicting to talk like this. My
Isn't
voice
it? It is. Right. I think that's the key component because the accent and the phrasing and everything, it's like you start to hear
it's too
it and everyone
fucking fun.
Wants to do it.
Yep.
And it's like you said, you can say things in that accent that you would normally
no,
say.
No, but Slack Lumber would. Yeah.
Ryan isn't going to be too happy with me. I lost it. Damn it.
Or you just give him a minute and Travis will get it to you.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
But you know, like when you're trying out new voices and stuff, like I've, you know, when I'm trying to come up with something for like a radio hour audition and I'm like, and then by the time I have to play it, I'm like, oh shit, what was that voice again? Like
right.
I just had to do it last month. I had to go listen to my audition because I couldn't remember what I did. I was like,
well, I think Travis has been doing it so long now, it's just like it's second nature.
It's beyond second nature. It really has become almost a second personality.
Again, he's your Pooka.
He's my spirit animal. He is, and I have, There are other characters that I can get into easily. Bobby Lebeck, right? Hey, Mirka.
Love
right?
Bobby.
Bobby's really easy to get into, eh? Okay, I'll tell him already. But you know, when we do the Sons of Mediocrity, the Jinx character, I can get into Jinx really easily. He's a very, right? But Slack Lumber, he is different
Barkley
than any
you can get
of the
characters. Pretty easily too.
Barkley's still a little tough, and you really have to kind of do you have to pitch him down to make it work right.
But if you get the word
right, because the thought is terrible, because they're in the Saudi Arabia, the oil country.
And don't forget the leader of Iran.
It's terrible. The leader of Iran.
Terrible.
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. it would like when Iraq evaded Kiwi back in 92. Mr. Barkley, I think that was Kuwait.
Wait.
Okay, I'll wait. Terrible.
How long do you want me to wait?
Just terrible. You pitched me down, and we accidentally discovered that all of a sudden I could do Charles Barkley by complete accident. But characters are a blast. It's just, like I said, Slack Lumber has taken on a complete life of his own.
He likes to run hard right up the middle of all your personalities and punch right through.
Right. It's about the character penetration, right? You have to... So you have to sort of slip past the labia of the individual's character and go right in for the uterus. And that's when you're going to have the slack lumbar effect. But yeah, he's become my Hulk.
Make sure it's good and I'm lubed up.
That's right.
Coming right up the middle.
You don't want to be a dry dog in your character right through there, because that's going to lead to some chafing, and that's a hurts really bad.
That's the other key.
I am Bruce Banner, and Slack Lumber is my Incredible Hulk.
Really is the key, though. It's the fact. It's not just the voice. It's what he talks about, because he talks in thinly veiled euphemisms.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
everything is a sexual. Right. To explain whatever it is, he breaks it down into sexual innuendo.
Right, making him a PP doctor has kind of given me the free license to play with anything sexual. And for some reason, when he talks about it, stuff that if we tried to say in our normal voices that would be unbelievably offensive, you find almost charming.
Me too.
Yeah, it's like, it's so charming coming out of his mouth. I want to hear him talk more about labia.
one of my characters that's closest to that would be Stacy Triple X.
Nice.
Who is a porn star detective.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And she talks like this. And she loves gags. She loves to be gagged. I love gags. And she loves Frozen, and it's her favorite movie, and her favorite thing to do is watch paint dry.
Higher intelligence entertainment there.
But the thing is, she started out, her real name is Anastasia Xanadu, and she's actually like a super genius, but sex makes her dumb. But she's addicted to sex, so she stays dumb, but when she goes without sex for a long time, she starts getting smart again.
That's funny, because I'd probably swipe right on the Xanadu, but I'd swipe left on the Triple X one, because you don't know who's been there before.
You're pretty sure you's going to catch something.
Right. She's a professional, and everyone is tested for the STDs.
STDs.
Dude, I just want to listen to a podcast between Stacy and Slack Lumber.
Be like Holmes and Watson, right? But with way more penis in the labia.
Isn't labia in the Middle East?
Yes.
I'll wait.
Or is it the Middle West?
In the Middle West.
It's Middle North, dear.
Or the Upper...
It's Upper Southern Middle Western West. Southeastern North... Western Conference.
It's actually in the taintal region of the world. There's a taint that isn't quite north or a south, right? It's the taint north and the taint the south, right? So
it's
the
dirty spot between the ball and the, well...
Right. I understand about the first half of it, but then I gotta consult a colleague for, you know, the back half.
No. I went to colleague.
You sounds like you must be interested in butt loogies.
I love butt loogies.
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch don't have anything on you right there. Sweetheart, you're the brilliant one, right? Elementary, my dear Watson, right?
I passed elementary school. I don't
Twice.
Know who Watson is, but he sounds cute. Is he another porn star?
I was going to say, I think she prefers the term Twatson.
Holes and Twatson.
It's Holes and Twatson.
Holes and Twatson.
Holes and Twatson. We're going to go on the caper trying to figure out who committed the crime, right?
The vanishing boot plugin.
Turns out it was in her the whole time.
And it was a big gym model, no less.
Actually, we had an episode with this lady. Her name is Granny Gonzo. And she...
That's hot.
Stacy's partner is Amber Showers.
Oh, God.
Oh.
So Stacy and Amber are looking for missing missing play toys from the set. And they go to Granny Gonzo, and they're like, Granny, can we look inside you? And she's like, oh, yes, my dears. And then, you know, it's bending over, so we're trying to, like, and then I had to be like, I think I got something. And then there was a pop noise from our Foley artist, and, like, so we're pulling toys out of her, but it's not the ones that...
How many do you have in here, Gam Gam?
This one's made out of lead, and they haven't made those in like 40 years.
She's like the original porn star. She's this old lady that's like done it all.
Oh my god, it's the director. We haven't seen him in months.
So dark.
The things so I've dark. Seen.
So dark.
Oh,
wow.
I'm really glad we ended on the happy note.
We had a happiness ending and, you know, started strong, a little flaccid, but we ended really stiff.
That's right.
I seriously just want to listen to Stacy and Slack Lumber for like an hour.
Of the Holes and Twatson mysteries.
Holes and Twatson.
Dr. Holes and Mrs. Twatson.
I think we've renamed the episode again.
Yes!
Except I don't think I can put Twatson.
Yes, you can.
Put the little star character over the A, right? Because they'll never figure out what the world really is.
Well, then I won't know how to pronounce it.
Twat.
Twistardson?
Sim.
Twistardson. It's just like Kashingsha.
Goddamn, they came up with the new letter that nobody told me about. Don't have any idea how to pronounce it. Not from Sweden, where we made up letters.
Oh, fuck.
This might be a letter from the taint of the world. Oh, Jesus.
Good shit.
Seriously. Okay, so we're going to conclude the episode here, unless anyone else has anything else they want to say.
No.
Conclude it?
Say again, Stacy?
You're going to conclude it?
You know it.
Did she say cock lube it?
Yeah.
Conclude, cock lube.
Cock lube.
Cock
lube. With a B.
Cup lubed. Boot plugin.
Okay, for real, I gotta get the dogs out.
That's not a euphemism either. That's she honestly really does have dogs that she has to let out to eat.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.